I'm on top of the world. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Welcome to Brothers in Arms, brought to you by Catholic Men for Jesus Christ, with your hosts, Bill Maher and Jez Ford. Stay tuned as Bill, Jez, and their guests discuss topics relevant to Catholic men living out their faith in today's challenging world. And now, here are the hosts of Brothers in Arms, Bill Maher and Jez Ford.
Well, good evening, my brothers. This is Bill Maher. I'm here with my co-host, Jez Ford. We are Brothers in Arms. On this Friday, March 1st, 2024, we are riding the high of a wonderful men's conference we just came off of.
Yeah.
You know, Jez and crew were just lighting it up with music, inspirational music. We had great talks. In fact, we have one of our speakers on later on the show in Joe Klecko, the great Joe Klecko.
Keeping it going.
Keeping it going, yeah. It was a spirit-filled day. It really was. I'm just so touched. Seeing all the men get together, and there's such power in that. Always the highlight for me.
Yeah.
And I never really get a chance to even listen intently to the speakers.
Yeah, it's a busy day, right?
Yeah, but you know the men and you know seeing conversions, reversions, and people coming up and mentioning that.
Yeah, confessions.
Oh yeah, off the chart.
Seeing the confessions. I mean, not listening to them, obviously.
Yeah, there are no mics in there.
No. Yeah, it's such a great witness and a big witness, right? Yeah. In the diocese, and it gives you hope and gives you inspiration. And like you say, you can ride on that for a little while.
Yeah, it propels us forward for next year. You know, preparing it, and also the evenings of reflections, which we have one coming up in March.
Yep.
And we're going to, you know, we have a podcast we're going to launch actually, and we're going to start podcasting. So,
big plans for, more regional, involvement, right?
Indeed. Yeah. We're going to try to really, step it up, especially in these days. It just seems like as it gets darker and darker, each one of us are called to be a little bit brighter and brighter.
Yeah. Yeah. That was about, here we go. As it gets darker and darker. We're going to take it down a notch.
No, but you know, the bottom line is we're going to be brighter and brighter.
That's
right.
Right.
That's the positive
side. We're
going to
be twinkling stars in the dark sky.
We digress. That's pretty typical on this show. But we're excited. We had certainly close to 600 men. That church, you know, St. Mary's Mother, that's what, 1,200?
I don't know. I'm terrible with numbers, but I over 1,000. But it looked pretty full to me. It really did.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. So it felt great.
Great to see the bishop.
Oh, he's amazing.
What was his line? It's better to be seen than viewed.
It's true. Well, you know, he's coming off of a heart attack while he was in Rome. He has suffered since he's been in this diocese, but, you know, he has really shown us what it is to suffer with dignity in some ways, like John Paul did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
John Paul showed us the dignity and suffering, and our bishop is doing the same. He really
is. He didn't drop a beat, like you wouldn't have known.
No, not at all.
He's amazing.
No, definitely not at all. So we have a patron saint for this month, as we do every month.
We do.
And he is, this particular saint is my patron.
Really?
He is, and he's my foster father in prayer.
Okay.
And who is that saint, by the way?
Saint Bill.
Saint William. No, Saint Joseph.
Saint Joseph, of course.
Yes, March 19th is his feast day.
One of his feast days, right?
One of his feast days. Yeah. Husband of Mary, foster father of Jesus. He's patron of the universal church, unborn children.
Terror of demons.
Terror of demons. Fathers, workers, travelers, immigrants. And of a happy death. Here we go. We will be bright lights amid the darkness.
So morbid. Well, it is Lent. And a tecton extraordinaire. I made that up, actually, but he should be called.
Well, explain, elaborate.
Tecton. So we often think of him as the carpenter, right? But I think the Greek original tecton means a craftsman in all materials, like a specialist. And so I don't think of Joseph. When I think of Joseph, I think of like a dude that's hard as nails, and forgive the pun, right? But like a strong blue collar, manly man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm struck by how quiet he is in the scriptures, you know.
Silent.
The silence of St. Joseph's life speaks volumes to his humility and life's message, which points directly to his wife, Mary, and Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he's a model.
You have an aunt that belonged to an order of nuns in France called, the order was called St. Joseph of the Apparition. And their whole apostolate was built on the listening ears of Joseph to the dream, just to step out in faith, respond to that dream, and take his family out of the Holy Land to Egypt. And that we're called to that kind of, not blind faith, but complete trust.
Yeah, not fetism.
Yeah, yeah.
But certainly trust indeed, and trust in Jesus. See, his life speaks to, in some ways, Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The chaplet of divine mercy in a certain sense.
Gosh, there's probably not a greater model in the New Testament, right? He's like a type. He's the Abraham, in a sense, that he's just going to trust. But I don't know if you did, was it Father Calloway or the 33-day consecration to St. Joseph?
I did it. Yeah. Beautiful. It's a beautiful little booklet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what a great thing to recommend. St. Joseph for me is, I mean, there've been miracles in my life. You know, wife gets pregnant. Oh my gosh, I need a better job. Boom. Novena to St. Joseph. Boom. It happens.
Yeah.
Like so many different miracles in my life, with my devotion to St. Joseph. So I mean, he is, in a lot of ways, a saint for this day, you know, of course, Mary, right? Of course, a devotion to Mary, but, the Holy Family in particular, in my life, I've grown, you know, Mary brought me to Jesus. I struggled with the idea of Jesus. You know, I grew up as a kid playing sports, you know, the John Wayne movies, you want to be a burly man, right? This is the model, right?
And for those, for those watching on YouTube, Bill just acted it out really well, by the way.
I flexed. But no, but, and then you'd see like some of these movies about Jesus and he was so effeminate and I just couldn't relate.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, in some ways a bad portrayal of who, I mean, Jesus was, this man, I mean, he was a strong man with every aspect.
Yeah.
But I had no problem with the mama.
Yeah.
You know, and Mary brought me to Jesus. And in a certain sense, to St. Joseph. So for me, the Holy Family has become so important in my life.
Yeah. It's funny, on my end, it was the Father, God the Father first. And through the Father, Mary.
Locutions? You were receiving locutions?
No, it was just the first time I really sort of stepped into faith. It was this idea that God, as Father, was my creator. That was the first moment of, like, okay, I'm going to take this seriously because it changes everything. Yeah. If God creates me out of love, the Father's love, to love you, then I've got to start changing because you're not easy to love.
So was this like an intellectual realization?
No.
Or was it just something you...
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was in a moment of grace in the back of a police van. That's my story.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So we'll leave that alone for this time. But the Father, then it's Mary right after that, the mother. And she introduces me to Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit kind of comes after that. But the Father was always synonymous with Joseph. I saw that role as him handpicked because of his characteristics, because of his ability to be authoritative and strong and gentle.
Charitable. Look at how he was trying to handle Mary.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
when it's like just there's just the qualities in St. Joseph, and again, a lot of this you have to infer,
right? Yeah,
because he was so quiet.
Well, the docility of Joseph as the leader of the family in a Jewish era, time, and with sensibilities, the bowing to I'd call it docility to the law with the presentation in the temple. Even the finding of the child Jesus has got a ton of understanding of who Joseph was, as well as who Mary was, obviously. But that the dynamic in that relationship is just amazing. It's great for us as husbands and as fathers and as men, as Catholic men, Yeah, there's probably not a better example to follow.
No, no doubt about it. And you know, his feast, again, is March 19th. And we're going to ask Catholic Men for Jesus Christ through Brothers in Arms and all these different mediums. We're going to pitch out to the world, to you listening and anyone who will listen. On the Feast of St. Joseph, we would like to kick off a 40 days of prayer and reparation for our country. And we're going to flesh that out, what that looks like. And, you know, we're going to announce that through email and everything. But we've talked to our priests on the board and all that, and everyone is in agreement we're going to do this because the country needs our prayer. And, you know, one of our speakers was very, very Marian with apparitions and things like that. And, you know, we're reminded that, you know, of the story of Nineveh. We're reminded that Jonah was called to preach to Nineveh, to save Nineveh, which is a city living in sin and was going to be destroyed by God's right justice. And Jonah skirted it a little bit, like we all do constantly. But then finally, he relented and preached to Nineveh. And what did Nineveh do? They wore ashes and they repented for 40 days. And that city living in sin was saved. And that's what we're going to try to do in our little way for this country that we love, that needs prayer, needs reparation, and it needs the grace of God. So stay tuned for that. Even if you're just hearing it now, March 19th, please, we're going to kick off 40 days of prayer, which would end on April 27th.
Yeah, and anybody that's listening that's not subscribed, or they can contact us how?
Through CatholicMenForJesusChrist.org.
Yeah, just get in touch. Give us your information. We want to get as many men on board so we can do this again as brothers in arms, as a community of men. So
yeah, and this initiative, everyone, children, women, everyone, we have to storm heaven because this is the model. This is what God is calling for. He works through our intentions, our prayers, and too few, I think, in the world are reaching out to God, are praying to God, and we see it in how the world's sort of spiraling out. So we have the ability to do something. We can utilize our will and actually petition God. This is what we're called to do. So we're gonna pitch that to you guys now, and just stay tuned. And again, to Jez's point, if we don't have your email or your contact information, please reach out to us at CatholicMenForJesusChrist.org. Or I'm sure, you know, our radio station wouldn't mind getting an email. Domestic Church Media.
Yep.
Brothers in Arms is the show, because we definitely want you to take part of this with us. We're going to come together as the mystical body of Christ. We are called as brothers and sisters in the church militant. That's what we are. We're the church militant. We hope and aspire to be part of the church triumphant in heaven, right? We know that we have brothers and sisters in the church suffering, right, that are praying for us in purgatory. But our aspiration is to be part of the church triumph. And that means that we are at war in a certain sense, spiritual warfare. And this is one tangible way that we can unite together in prayer. So I petition it again.
Awesome. I'm just like, we're just watching the flexing and the thinking, come on, Lord.
We pray. So anyway, we're gonna go to break and we're going to ask St. Joseph for his prayers for us, for every man listening to this on their way home from work, or whether you're working from home, or whether you're just relaxing, listening to the radio. St. Joseph, please pray for us.
Pray for us, yeah.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
For the Jews of old, the temple was the holiest place in the universe, and the spiritual center of the temple was the Holy of Holies. It was blocked off by a thick curtain, and only the high priest could enter to offer sacrifice to God. He had to have a rope tied around his ankle in case he died in there, so he could be dragged out, because no one else was ever allowed in. I lead a pilgrimage to the Holy Land every year, and to this day, you can see Jewish people from around the world come to the Wailing Wall, the closest place to where the Holy of Holies was, just to touch that wall. When Jesus died, the curtain separating the Holy of Holies was torn in two, not from bottom to top, which man could have done, but in an act of God from top to bottom. Why? Because in the New Covenant, God's dwelling place is you. You are the holiest place in the universe. Do you live like it? This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
Well, welcome back, my brothers. This is Bill Maher. I'm here with my co-host, Jez Ford. We are brothers in arms on this March 1st, week or two, in 2 weeks or so in Lent. We're kicking off, and this is a very special time of prayer, fasting, of reflection, as we prepare for really the death and then resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, are you sticking to your disciplines?
I am, in fact. For me, if you recall last show, I was sort of fleshing out what that means. And for me, it's a subtraction and an addition, which you know about. Yep. Subtraction and addition.
Yeah, I'm a good mathematician.
So I've had a reduction in some aspects of my social media. And I've added a chaplet of Divine Mercy every morning for repentance.
We'd have to show off, Bill.
No, I'm not. I'm just... Did that look good?
No, it is. It is.
No, I'm trying. I mean, I definitely want to, I wanted to do more than just pull something out of my life. I mean, my one son is, he cut out all sweets. He cut out all this spicy stuff, the things he loves the most. Mm. And I'm just looking, I'm like, wow, that's so awesome. Because this is something that affects him every moment of every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I look at mine, I'm like, oh gosh.
My six-year-old granddaughter, we have cereals together on Thursdays. I know it's weird. And so the first Thursday of Lent, they come down, these are granddaughters, and they take me upstairs. And it's a whole, it's a whole ordeal. You're getting the bowls out, and they want it filmed as well. Mm. So I time-lapse it, but everything's done. It's all organic. We're very crunchy in the house. I literally, Tori's making the milk. It's made out of almonds. I don't like any of it, so it's the whole thing is a bit of a Lenten thing. And finally it's set, and Vera, the six-year-old, goes, oh, no, it's Lent. And I go, did you give up cereals? And she went, no, I gave up added sugar. She's 6 years old.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, what is Lent? So it started on Ash Wednesday, February 14th, and it ends on March 28th, Holy Thursday. And for those listening that might not know, Lent is a solemn 40-day period before Easter. It holds profound significance in the Catholic Church and other Christian traditions. Again, starting on Ash Wednesday, finishing on Holy Thursday. It is a season of penitence and preparation. Throughout Lent, Catholics engage in spiritual disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Don't forget almsgiving. These practices serve to deepen our connection with God, our awareness of Jesus' sacrificial love, and to prepare our hearts and minds for the Paschal mystery, which is the journey of Jesus, his passion, his death, his resurrection. It's an invitation, Lent is, to reflect, repent, and renew one's commitment to living a life of faith, ultimately leading to the joyful celebration of Easter, which, if you do practice Lent sincerely, your Easter will be that much more grand. It really will.
Yeah, and the don't forget almsgiving. I don't know. For me, I'm thinking the prayer and the fasting all point to almsgiving, right? Our primary goal is to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor.
Mm.
And so when we pray, we can do both of those as intercessors.
Yeah.
As far as loving the neighbor as intercessors, and then loving God through petition and through worship and through praise. But if there's a thing that jumps out, it's the idea of service, to be of service, to be of charity to my brother, to my sister, So everyone we meet then becomes like a Christ. That's what Mother Teresa would say.
It's a great distinction because, you know, living in New Jersey, in some cases you guys might be listening to this, maybe in Staten Island or Eastern PA, but living where we live, we're not really confronted as much with the poor as maybe in years past. I mean, there are homeless.
Yeah.
Very often the homeless today, there's emotional disorders or drug addiction, and that calls for a whole nother level of service and need, no doubt about it. But you don't typically find in your daily grind, you know, a family struggling with no home. You don't see it.
Taylor House.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go.
Yep.
But for, I think for most people.
Yeah, yeah.
So you bring up a really important distinction. You know, almsgiving, it can be just being there for your brother who's suffering. You know, the poverty in this day and age is poverty of spirit more than anything economic.
Well, that's Mother Teresa's line when she brought the sisters over to America. She called it the most impoverished country from a spiritual poverty standpoint that she'd ever experienced.
Yeah, and that's you know, so that's something proactive you can do. You know, you have a friend who's going through, invite him over for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, be there for your brothers and sisters, you know, and that's, you know, going back to the men's conference, it's one of the great things that I get out of that conference every year is the spirit of the men when they come together. Mm. You know, we have such a insular culture in a lot of ways, especially in the Northeast where you don't even know your neighbors.
Yeah.
And that's not the gospel. You know, we're called, we're like I said, we're part of this mystical body. We're called to be one in a certain way in spirit, clearly. And yet we don't even know our neighbor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit of an indictment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably right throughout the materialistic West, Western cultures. I don't want to open a can of worms, but I kind of think in what was once known as developing countries or third world countries that spiritually there's a richness that's breaking through, but we suffer spiritually because we have more materially, and that can be a problem. It's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Jesus comes to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Mm.
If you're feeling a bit comfortable, time to get afflicted.
Yeah, you see it sort of like when you even look at your youth, and by the way, it's just a reflection of the older people too, but you look at young people today, their heads are down, looking at social media, looking at phones, sad, but sadness, tension. And you look at those images of third world nations when someone rolls into town, all these kids are running up with big smiles. They have nothing on their, they're not even wearing any clothes practically, but these big smiles on their faces.
Yeah.
You know, so to your point, you know, I think the great poverty of America is spiritual.
Yeah, well, all of these things. I know working with youth programs for years in the diocese, the whole climate changed over a 25-year period.
Wow.
From into what, in a sense, is today sensory overload, sensory bombardment through a digital medium. And so your struggles to evangelize, and it's not just the youth, it's everyone now, really. We become isolatory figures stuck in struggles with real relationships because we spend the bulk of our time in digital relationships, if you can call them that.
And in a certain sense, it's been clinically proven to actually, it rewires our brain.
Yeah, turn your phones off at night, guys.
You know, really? It does. I mean, think about, you know, technology-induced ADHD. I think in a certain sense, if you're operating in the world today, you probably got a little of that or a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how many people read?
Well, it takes us back to the first arm, right, of the Lenten call, the prayer part. Mm. If you can put it down, you have to put it down. Whether you're a morning person or an evening person, at least for a significant amount of time every day, and then throughout the day, it springboards you into a prayer lifestyle. So when you're in the car, turn the radio off or whatever you listen to, and just talk to the Lord, listen to the Lord. And prayer needs to be constant, right? St. Paul, unceasing prayer is what we're called to.
Yeah, I know you hate my butchery of this, but I always think of, when you talk about that, I think of Gary Goulagrange. You know, the whole, you know, the sane man. the sane man's conversations with himself inevitably turn into a conversation with God.
Yeah, to your point. Yeah. You did very well then as well.
Did I?
You did. Yeah. You said it quickly, so it makes it.
Yeah, well, real. Yeah, because I destroyed. I mean, my Latin's the worst. I'm, like I said, I was born in 1970, so it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I only know English.
Yeah.
There's no Latin.
I know a bit of Scottish.
I know Kyrie Lazan.
Anustas. That's Greek.
Yeah, there you go. That's Greek. There you go.
Exhibit A. Yeah. But so I think that they all work in. It's almost like the three chord, the three layered chord: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. When they're together, it's tight. It's unbreakable, and it all connects.
Three legs to the stool, right?
Three legs to the stool. Yep.
Tripod.
Oh, we don't need to do.
Let's keep going with analogies.
Trifecta. Triparite. Trinity.
A black three.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, no, like roulette.
I'm not a gambler.
There you go. Neither am I, but...
Happy Lent, everyone.
Oh, we digress. So a couple other things I thought were interesting in the news was, the Super Bowl ads have taken on a life of their own, and then probably in the last 10 years, they've taken on a whole nother life, which is... maybe not the best, but I was so excited. And there's an article in National Catholic Register and a bunch of other places about Hollow's appearance, the prayer app Hollow's appearance throughout the Super Bowl. And it was just so amazing to see, you know, Mark Wahlberg and Jonathan Rumi, you know, with those beautiful stained glass windows behind them, really pitching prayer this Lent and everything. And
stay prayed up, right?
Stay prayed up. Yeah. No, what? I mean, that's just. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
yeah.
There are a couple, actually. I think some of the other Christian ads got a bit of a beating. I didn't see all of them, but I saw the Hallow one. And yeah, it just makes you feel, maybe it's a bias, but it makes you feel proud almost and encouraged, right? Mm,
you do. There's definitely a real separation. I there's less and less lukewarm, and it's either you're going one direction or the other. And I think this is a great example of you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, the cream is rising to the top, and we're penetrating the culture, you know, it's beautiful to see. So I was moved by that when I saw that during the Super Bowl. It's not a spot you normally would see anything like that.
And ironically, I think the last show we were on, we talked about the quarterback for the San Francisco team. And then I found out later.
Purdy.
Yeah, Purdy. You got a Purdy face. but the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
He's on the Hallow app.
Yeah.
With his own reflections. A big.
Well, we got to get him actually for the conference.
Yeah.
Or on the radio.
Yeah, we need to get into that Rolodex of yours.
Anyone know him?
But faithful Catholic man, unabashedly devoted to the Blessed Mother, and so that's a great app. If you never heard of it, or if you're not on it, you can get a free hit for Lent. But then after that, there's a small price to pay. But it's loaded, filled with resources, and Rumi is on there, and Mark Wahlberg, and a whole lot of others. So.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to see that the growth of that app and that's another way people are uniting together in prayer. You know, Father Mike Schmidt's got a program on there, right, for Lent.
Yeah,
and it's so awesome many. Stuff.
I mean, that's the other side, right? We were talking a minute ago about the problems of the digital age, but on the other side, we have all the resources we need to be filled. It's the choice that we make, the choice that we make with everything. But we have no excuses. We can be filled with some amazing, inspiring, faith-filled knowledge in a way that we couldn't before at the tap of a finger. Just choose the right buttons, guys.
Yeah, living in the present, right? The only thing we can control, really, is the yes or no. I always come back to Ephesians 2:10, which states that we are his handiwork created in Christ Jesus for the good works that he has prepared for us in advance. That we should live in him.
Yeah.
To me, that's just, it's Jesus has prepared a path for you.
Yeah.
And you could say no, or you could say yes.
Yeah.
And You know, that's every moment, you know, to your point, have that conversation with God, you know, ask for his mercy.
Yeah.
You know, in your words, even whatever.
Yeah. Just do it.
It wasn't that, Nancy Reagan, right?
It was Nike.
No, that she
Nancy
was
Reagan
just,
said,
don't
just
do
say
it.
No.
Well, just say no.
Just
that's
say
right.
no. Just say no.
So that was the other voice on my shoulder. Just one saying, just say no. And Jesse saying, just do it. We digress. But, you know, we're definitely excited in you know, coming off that conference, coming back to that, and we're in Lent. There's so much we can do. Let's pray it up, as Hollis says. Let's consider on the Feast of St. Joseph, kicking off 40 days of prayer and reparation for America. We're pushing that as well. And stay tuned.
A little quick plug. If you're a young adult, there's a young adult conference at St. Luke's in Toms River this weekend. So all young adults, come along.
Well, talk about it real quick.
I think the registration is all done, but every year we have a youth conference. February is always a busy year, but the youth conference, the DYC, takes place for the high school kids. The men's conference is usually the week after that, and then the young adult conference takes place a week after that, and it always moves around. But it's the JMJ missions are coming in with a full day's roster based on the theme of flipping the tables from the scriptures of the day. That will be the gospel on Sunday. Flipping the tables is a twofold. It's actually turning over all the things that are of the world so that we can make room for all the things that are of the Lord and be more like him in our daily lives. So it's going to be a great day.
Well, so show up if you can. I guess you don't accept anyone at the door, do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Bam.
As long as you're a young adult, 18 to 79.
There you go.
I think it's 39.
That's a pretty, 39, yeah. That was a tough age when I hit 40 and I realized I wasn't a young adult anymore.
Yeah.
C'est la vie. We will be back in 2 minutes, brothers, with Joe Klecko.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell, the Bishop of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic moment. All that we are and believe as baptized Catholics is rooted in Christ's presence in the Holy Eucharist and is directed toward Christ's presence there. To affirm that belief throughout our Christian lives shapes, informs, and guides our Catholic teachings through the ages and our Catholic faith here and now. It is both a mystery and a reality that requires our understanding, our conviction, our faith, and our way of life. As a mystery, the Holy Eucharist defies any scientific explanation. At the same time, as a reality, it doesn't need one. It is both mystery and reality. Remember the Eucharistic hymn, the Tantum Ergo of St. Thomas Aquinas. What our senses fail to fathom, let us grasp through faith's consent.
It started like it does for many people. Question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Well, welcome back, my brothers. This is Bill Maher. I'm here with my co-host, Jez Ford. We are brothers in arms, and we have a very special brother on the other line, our good friend, Joe Klecko. How are you, Joe?
Good morning, guys.
Wonderful to have you here. Joe knocked the cover off the ball at our men's conference last Saturday. Joe, sincerely, I will tell you, you were the highlight for so many of the men there. So I appreciate your willingness to serve and to show up and to do everything that you do, you know, for the men of the diocese and everywhere. So thank you so much for that.
Well, that was easy, believe me.
Well, for those listening that don't know who I'm talking to, if you're you know, maybe, I don't know, in a monastery somewhere, Joe Klecko was phenomenal, one of the greatest defensive linemen in all of NFL history. He was part of the New York Sack Exchange with the New York Jets. He was a Temple Owl. And he was recently inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. This truly is a remarkable man on the gridiron. But what we learned, and so many of the men learned on Saturday, he's even more a remarkable man of faith and just a good man and a role model for so many others. I know, Joe, you spent some time with the youth as well. And you're making an impact. So thank you for, again, everything.
Believe me, it's a pleasure whenever you can, like everybody always talks about it, if you bring one person back to God, it's a great day. So, you know, with the kids and the men and everything, if you get one person to really catch something that you said is, important in their life, it really is worthwhile.
No doubt about it. Now, you have a special prayer intention. Can you share with the radio audience what you want them to do?
Yeah, I have a young lady. Her name is Leah Rafter. She's about to enter into an exploratory surgery, and it's a very, very complicated one. And the surgery itself, when they do the exploratory, if it goes well, things don't have to happen. If it doesn't go well, there's some rough roads for her. So I'm basically asking the listening audience to pray for Leah, to keep her in your prayers. Her surgery is March 13th, and she's a 21-year-old girl. And her dad and I are close friends, and we mentioned it. Bill Headfather mentioned it at the conference, and as many people as this reaches, I would like to have people pray for her for her surgery.
Yeah. Joe, when's the surgery again?
March 13th.
All right. Can we say a quick prayer right now?
Absolutely, Jez, please.
Sure.
So, Lord God, you know all things, and you know your daughter, Leah, and you have great plans for her. We pray in a particular way for a guard of protection, all the angels, the Blessed Mother's mantle around her. We pray for a family, for their strength and their perseverance throughout this ordeal. We pray for guidance for the surgeons, all those on the medical staff that you've given the knowledge and the wisdom to heal. But we come to you particularly as the divine physician just to claim your glory in her life and in her family's life and for all those that surround her, that she might be brought back to a full recovery, mm-hmm. If that be your holy will, and that recovery will glorify you in everything that she says and does in the future. We pray this for the glory of your holy name. Amen.
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 Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And guys, remember, this is a special time in Lent. And, so often, we try to focus, what are you praying? Well, you pray for the world. You pray for your own formation and repentance and all those things. But this is something very, very tangible to pray for. This is a person, a human being. So please lift her up in prayer, in particular on the 13th. And you know what? This is a great thing to also sacrifice for, to fast on, give all your fruits for this young girl, for our friend Joe and his friend. And let's just come together as an army, an army on earth, and storm heaven.
Yeah, as a family as well, right? She's our sister.
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed. So, Joe.
Yeah, everybody does. Everybody needs prayers. This is a tough situation.
Mm. Well, you got it. We're going to be praying for her for sure. This is one of those things not to shift gears, but I guess you have to shift gears.
Sure.
We want to talk a little bit about you. And, you've had such a storied career. And, I was so struck by, more so than even the football, but I mean your growth spiritually as a man, in a world where I can't help but say masculinity is sort of out the window. We've gone from, a father's knows best, role model to Homer Simpson. what has carried you through this journey as being an authentic man for Christ?
Well, things happen in your life that turn you towards God more and more, and they're usually tragedies or something like that. Mine was a financial tragedy. And, I started back up and did things and under the auspices of the Lord's care. And, that's what brought me to the surrounding of my faith. As far as, like you talk about the masculinity side, I talked with the kids at the fair on Saturday, and I said to them about that, and the biggest thing that I think people buy into all these things that we're fed from our government and really from the pulpit a little bit too. And the problem with that is we're not giving truth a chance. And the biggest part about truth is, it says in the Bible, husbands love your wife and wives to be subservient to your husband, but it doesn't mean that they have to bow or nothing like that. They have to take it correctly, and that's what creates a great family atmosphere. And I think the biggest thing that's been falling apart is the family. And, the woman working in the household nowadays, it's really, it's become an essential thing because of, the cost of things, how they've skyrocketed, and buying a home and things like that. People do need the two people working in the house, which, of course, I grew up, my mother didn't work, but, it was a different way back when we grew up, and nowadays it's almost essential. But the point of it is you don't lose the family values, of praying together, of doing things together, supporting your children and supporting your spouse and husband. And I think the family has come to the point where, we're getting things shoved down our throat by our government. Mm-hmm. And it's not only propaganda being shoved down our throat, it's evil. And I think everyone should look at it like that. Pope Leo XIII's locution after Mass, and I think it's 1894, something like that, about, the devil told the Lord that if you gave me enough time and power, I could take over your church. And if you go to listen to Our Lady of Good Success about, she was not even noticed for hundreds of years, mm-hmm. because what she prophesied was to be happening in the middle of the 20th, 21st century, and that's what we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And all of those prophecies and things that are alluding to our time we're falling apart with. And again, that's evil. The evil that's been pushed down our throats from our government, and basically, the pulpit has let us down. The things that we're hearing out of Rome, of course, and a lot of the bishops, they're afraid to do anything against Pope Francis. But the magisterium of the church teaches certain things. Listen, I had a phrase all my life, and it doesn't really apply here, but it does. I always said, there's a man alive that I won't fight. There's not a woman I wanna, but you need to fight. This is a fight. And I talked about a bishop, I forget his name, in Rwanda, prayed about they were having the wars with Boko Haram, who is a group in Nigeria. Who, is attacking people all over the place. And he prayed in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And the Lord appeared to him, and he asked for a way to defeat Boko Haram. And when the Lord appeared to him, he handed him a sword. And as his sword came into the bishop's hand, it turned into a rosary. Mm. And that's our sword. And Mary has been appearing to us. for years now. I mean, Sister, oh my God, Maria Torres de Jesus, from Our Lady of Good Success.
Good Success, yeah.
That was in 1600. Okay, she became a nun in 1594, and her apparitions with Mary happened way back then. So Mary's been around trying to solve these problems for us and letting us know it. You know, and of course the famous exorcist Father Ribbinger on YouTube now talks about, you know, I mentioned this at the convention, that one sigh from Our Lady is more meritorious than all the saints, all the martyrs, and all the religious.
Mm.
And that's all we have to do is, you know, pick up your rosary and be dedicated to it. I mean, it takes, you know, if it's a manly attitude, if that's what it takes, that's what we need to do. Reason being, you know, I mentioned when I was talking that it's very easy to say rosaries if you concentrate on our Lord all day. And that's, you know, something that is called for in the Bible, to pray unceasingly. But I talked about saying an average of 10 rosaries a day.
Wow.
You know, when I'm not around people, you know, I'm saying a rosary. And at night, you know, before I go to bed, I don't care about TV. I don't want to watch TV. To me, it's time to pray and be with God.
Mm-hmm. There's the path,
that's
brother.
That's a big part of it.
And when you pray the rosary, you're meditating on the life of Christ.
Exactly.
You know, so it's present for you. You know, it strikes me when you mention that. I think of Padre Pio when he talks about the rosary, raises it up, and he says the weapon.
Yeah.
You know, so that imagery of that sword, oh, that's been confirmed over the centuries by many of the mystics and saints. Mm. You know, and you know, you mentioned Our Lady of Good Success. I remind everyone out there, maybe they don't know, but there are six incorruptible nuns stamping an authentic letter of proof to that one. I mean, there are six nuns that are not decaying in the flesh going back from the 1600s.
Well, that's the thing about it is you know, she's, you know, she really was an unknown until recently because of her prognostication came to truth here in the middle of the 20th century, and that's one of the greatest reasons to look into her now, because everything she talked about, you know, it's bishop against bishop, priest against priest, mother against daughter, they talked about back then, is now happening. I mean, and the thing about it is you know, we talk about men and their children and all. And I think the biggest problem we have with guys today is they want to be their son's best friend.
Mm.
And, you know, they want to say anything wrong to them to where they would be upset with them. Well, you know what? That's bad. Reason being is you need to lay the law down with your kids. You know, the age of reason starts at 7 years old, okay? And they understand from then on. And, you know, I mentioned it in the conference with the kids about hell. You know how many people really don't believe in hell? Well, even our Bishop Barron said, you know, probably most people go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. They said that the narrow gate and few enter it, you know. And why we go against the teachings of the Lord, I have no idea. And you know what it is? I believe it's easy for me to really get through with these things is because, you know, in professional football, if you're not dedicated, you're not going to be any good. And the price you pay in the off season when people don't see you playing on the field is where you become good or not good. You get eliminated. And, you know, that was my life, you know, training hard, overcoming injuries, always fighting that uphill battle, you know, and having 16 major surgeries, you know, and, you know, it's funny when I go into a surgery and I'm jovial, and people are scared to death a lot of times of surgeries. And I'm not saying I'm better than someone else because of it, but if I have a great surgeon on my hands and I'm with God, what can beat me? You know, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, what did Dante say? In God's will are peace, right?
Exactly. I mean, and the thing about it is just, you know, having people, you know, the fears that they face is so much, you know, relieved when you learn to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned at the conference, you know, St. Teresa of Avila has a great book out there, and it's called Conversation with Christ. And, you know, the levels of sanctity that we enter with prayer, you know, go on and on. I think Father talks about 7 levels of sanctity and trying to get to them. It's not easy, you know. And, you know, I became a reader probably back in the early 90s. I read the first great book I read that I didn't go to sleep. I read for 2 days, I think, was Michael Brown. And Michael has a website called Spirit Daily. Michael wrote a book called The Final Hour. And The Final Hour is about every apparition sight in Mary across the world. And it was riveting. And I wish people would pick it up and get it. And it says a lot about what's going on. And the other thing is really Xavier Larrett. You know, he was there with us at the conference. And, you know, I think I talked to him after, and he said, he spoke for 45 minutes. That man could speak for hours and have you entertained by what he can tell you.
Sure.
And that's another one, you know, for your listeners.
Revelations.
His book of Revelation is just another riveting book about the apparitions of Mary and things and miracles that have happened across the country to attest to Mary's there for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, his book of Revelation was a big revelation to me because it's one of them books you got to read twice.
You do.
To get everything out of it.
Yeah, we benefited because he's a Frenchman. So he translated a lot of in particular, the portions from Mary Julie Jehenny from French to English. By the way, he sends his hello to you, and he wants you to know that he will be praying for Leah as well. And he still wishes that you were in Normandy when he was playing rugby. That comes back.
He's a good guy. He really, you know, when you shake his hand and look in his eyes, you know he's a great guy.
Indeed. So we have like a minute left, Joe. The final message to the men. We're in Lent. What is it?
Well, you know, learn how to suffer, okay? You know, I'm not saying that I do that the best. But Wednesdays and Fridays, it's bread and water, and you know, it's a great sacrifice. And you have to offer it up the right way and tell God that you're adding it to His sacrifice on the cross. But I think the Rosary, and you know, all the benefits were given to Lent, you know, and at the end of Lent, really, from Good Friday till Mercy Sunday, the novena by Sister Faustina of the Divine Mercy novena is a 9-day novena that allows us to be freed from all of our sins. Look that up and follow that, because basically, you know, there's no greater gift of get out of jail card than that one. Really is.
And the scapula, right? And the
scapula. Pray and sacrifice.
All right, brothers. Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
For everything you do. My brothers, you guys drive safe as you commute home. God bless you all. God bless you, Joe, and your family. Peace.
Peace. God bless.